Anyway, a little bit about me. Some of you already know me, but my background, as I said earlier, in theater. I teach at University of Southern California. I've been there for 34 years, so I'm old. And I teach theater, I teach acting, I teach writing, you know, all those kinds of things. And I teach privately as well. And I've also worked at various motion picture studios. So I was at Warner Brothers the longest. I was at a company called Lorimar before that, and then went to Warner Brothers. And I had various hats as part of that business. I was a consultant. I was a package person. And it's all good because as a writer, I understand very well on many of the aspects of the film business and how things are kind of put together. It's not as simple as you have a script. It doesn't work that way. A lot of other considerations. And so I spent a long time doing that. I also did a writing deal at Warner Brothers, a production for feature films. I've been at Fox, I've been on NYPD Blue, all of those television shows, I've done that. I've done tons of animation writing, actually. The longest series I did, the two longest, were Robotech and Digimon. And I actually did a voice on both. Well, you know, in animation, when you write and you go in and you pitch the ideas, you do the voices, and invariably they always let you play it. So it was great. So I got to act in those things. And I'm also a writer of books. I have two books out right now, one that's actually coming out this month. The first one is a monologue book, a theater book, and it's been out since the end of 2007. And I have a new book, which is called The Creative Audience, which is an exploration of the audience, the modern audience, in the creative process and visual and performing arts. So it's both painting and sculpture and all of that. And that'll be out, hopefully, if they get it together this month. Anyway, what I'd like to do, and we're a small group, so this won't take long. I can contact you and send you some information about what we're talking about today and via email. So if you want to give me your email, that would be great. And then when I send it to you, you'll have my email. And you can contact me regarding questions and things like that. Yours?
Yeah, I already put it
up. Yeah.
Frank, if I get your stuff already, should I still?
No, yours is, yeah. Anyway, so today's workshop is Writing on Your Feet. And it's just a quick, you know, catchy title for using improvisational techniques for writing. And many people use it in acting, and people are afraid to, as you can see, get up and perform. But what I wanted to say was, as a writer sometimes, and just recently, we were talking about it yesterday, I had a play, which is not a new play. It's something I've written, and it's I have an offer, a contract to publish it. And I said, before I send it over to them, I did two things. One is I want to have the contract looked at, which is in the process, but I also want to look at the play. And I said, God, you know, I've changed since I've written that play. You know, my children have grown. I want to see, does it ring true to me? So my way of doing that, I mean, of course, I could sit down in my living room and, you know, open up the play and read it. But my way of looking at it, and a very helpful, and it really will be helpful for all of us to do this, whether you're a fiction writer or a screenwriter, is to have a reading. And being in Los Angeles, there's so many actors, so you have that whole situation. And what I decided to do was have a reading of this play, and I actually just sat there and listened to it. And it was very helpful for me, and I made some notes and I did some revisions, and it was really kind of a shortcut way of getting to the core of what I really wanted to do. And so when we write, we engage our senses. So when you're sitting, and if you have your laptop or if you write on a legal pad, everybody has their own thing. You hear voices in your mind, and if you've ever read about the playwright Pirandello, he had a very jealous wife, and he used to lock himself in the studio and write, and she would hear on the other side of the door voices. And she used to think he was in there with another woman. And he wasn't. He was by himself talking to himself. But he found that that was a very effective way of listening. And so by putting your characters on their feet with little or no writing, you say, well, I just have this idea. I mean, I can't have you say anything. No, you can. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to explore trying to put your characters on their feet and let them talk. They could be sitting, too. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter. And listening to them and learning. So even if I got two of you today and I put you in an improvisation on an, you know, you give me an idea and we let them play it, it doesn't mean that he's going to write down every single word you say and it's going to appear in his screenplay, but you get an understanding of the characters, how they kind of might relate. And sometimes it's even really helpful to do the same scenario many times. What happens then? What happens is this magical little thing, I don't know if you could put your arms around it, is the truth kind of floats up to the top. And what I mean by that is, we could have 50 or 60 people in this room, and we send them off to all these corners of this hotel, and we bring them in groups at a time, and we play the same exact scenario. There will be repetition. But out of that repetition, there's a certain kind of thing that's going to happen all of the time, a certain kind of solution. And you may say, oh, well, if that's the way it is, I'm going to incorporate that in my work, or you know what, I'm not going in the right direction, and you do another thing. So you can use the live presentational format, be it improv or working through a scenario, thank you, to develop a story idea. And sometimes I'll tell you, when you're under a lot of pressure to write, you know, you have to have this thing in, you know. And when we used to do Robotech, Robotech was interesting because it put a group of writers together. But we never had, sometimes we had no ideas about it. And there was a guy, the producer was Carl Masek. We used to call him the Cheese Master. And he would go out and come back with the cheese. He would do something. But with Robotech, it was Japanese anime. So you're presented with a shot film, a 22-minute or 23-minute animated thing, and you have no idea what's going on. And somebody in Tokyo would go, he beat him too many pulps. You know, they just kind of, and you have no story. And you'd have to somehow come up with a story. So sometimes we would improvise off of that. And literally that meant turning on the television set or going in the screening room and putting it on and sitting there and starting doing the dialogue. You know? And start talking and and all of a sudden something starts to emerge, and then Carl would take it because he was the producer and he knew the storyline to make sure that this crazy little thing we did fit into that. I'll give you another example, and that's even sillier, and why I came up with this idea. I was producing a series for Fox Children's Network called The Adventures of Dynamo Duck, and it ran a couple of seasons. And what we did was, and how we sold it, was we acquired the rights to 300 hours of animal footage. it was ducks dressed up in little suits, gerbils driving cars. None of the animals were hurt, you know, nothing like that. And it was from this guy in France. And basically what we would do is take all of that footage and cut it into little interstitial episodes. And we did that. And we went, we rented a studio, we did paper cuts, and we had like 200 of these things with little storylines. And this writer comes back to me, and there were these ducks dressed up as pirates. And so he says, I can't do this anymore. He said, I've used my three pirate jokes, and now I'm done, you know, and we fired him. And, I couldn't do it. But what I said to him before we fired him, because I didn't fire him. I just said, listen, stop thinking in terms of telling pirate jokes and just look at the footage and come up with a situation. And the rest, it takes care of itself. It's a moment-to-moment kind of a thing. That's how you write these things. And he just couldn't grasp it. And so my point was, sometimes we have this overall concept of something we want to tell, and we can't do it because you don't know where to start. How many times have you had that blank page? And you, no, that's no good. No, that's no good. My thing is, just take it moment to moment, and it could be a simple little thing where you start with a situation where two characters come in a space. And that's all you've got. You say, hi, how are you? You're two characters, you're on a bus stop. And he's a CIA agent. Go. And all of a sudden he starts, and you start, and he hits the ball, right? And then you hit it back. And it's back and forth, back and forth. And out of that interchange, a couple of things can happen. One, it totally dissolves into nothing. You know, that's part of being an artist. The second part of it is, it starts to formalize and become something else, and it flowers, but it becomes something totally different. You say, I was a CIA agent and a person at a bus stop, and now all of a sudden it's a love story. And you go, whoa, okay, I'll take that. And you start building it from there. So when we get up and start moving our characters, it gives us some opportunities. Number one, we can listen to them. So it engages our sense of hearing. Now, every one of us has a different sensory... We all have five senses, right? But how many of you think that your senses are not endowed equally? So I would personally, you know, I don't know you guys... I'm probably a visual person more than anything, so I'll remember what you look like. I may not remember your name, stuff like that. I'm visually oriented. And I'm also, probably second place for me would be toucher. So I'm always squeezing and, you know, and maybe sniffing after that. And then listening for me is probably on the bottom of the list. So, you know, my wife will say something like, you know, you never listen to anything I say. And I go, what? Now, I know you're going to say, that's a guy thing. Maybe and maybe not. And sometimes you can create characters that are of different sensory centerpieces. So, for example, somebody says, you never tell me you love me. And the guy or whatever would say, what are you talking about? I washed your car yesterday. So she's saying, I want to hear you. I'm audio. And he's saying, I'm visual, baby. Here's your car. I cleaned it. You know, I could have been playing football or something. And the other, yeah, how many of you heard this? They go, I love you so much. Don't tell me you love me. Show me. And don't go out drinking or whatever it is you do. All right? And so it works both ways. So when we put our characters on their feet, we are engaging audio. We are engaging touch, we are engaging smell, maybe. You know, maybe. You never know. And how many times, let's talk about smell just for a second. How many of you, now you fly probably all over the place, and certain places have different smells, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
Like Hawaii. I used to live in Hawaii. And I'm not talking about the people at the lay stands waiting for you when you get off the plane. But Hawaii has a certain smell to it that's unique. And I could be at the mall in Los Angeles, and somebody will walk by, and they have that smell on them, and it just takes me right back to that. Or New York has a smell, so not, a couple of smells. And some of them are not real. There is a smell in New York which I will never forget as a child. It's called the Kosciuszko Bridge. And it goes over a meat packing plant. It's the worst smell you would ever want to smell. And anytime I smell it, it's a horrible, I can't even describe it to you. I'm back on that bridge. So smell does have a way. Not that I'm saying we should spray ourselves. Yes, you're going to say something?
No.
I thought you were waving at me. So audio, we hear our characters. We hear our characters. We watch how our characters touch one another and feel in the space. We also can experience a visualization so that if two characters are in a space and you're writing them, and let's say, let's use the CIA and the bus stop. I won't touch your picture or anything, so don't worry. And I'm playing your role, and I sit down and I do this. See? So already, you go, wait, I never thought of that. He touches her. And you know what amazed me was I sat on a train. I was in New York, and there was a guy reading a newspaper. He was like this. You know, they're like this. They're holding on to the thing. And they're this close. And that changes their relationship. Now, in Los Angeles, if you walked up to somebody, I was online at, Rite Aid, and I'm waiting online, and some guy's behind me, and the checker is going, you know, one of those things. And this guy's right up against me. You know, I'm in a hurry, you know. And he's brushing against my butt. And I said, don't touch my butt. All right, it's not going to make her move any faster, and he was invading my space. So all of that comes into play in when you put your characters. You get this heightened feedback, and not all of it's going to be good. It's going to tell you what to leave out, too. So it's like an experimentation. You say, oh, I like this, I like that, I like this, I don't like that, I don't like that. And sometimes you try it again. It's a wonderful way to start your screenplay or your book. Take two characters or one character. I mean, you could do one, you could do more. Let me go on and then we're going to do some of these. You can, as a writer, participate in an improvisation. But some of us don't want to do that. You say, I don't want to get up. So you can get other people to do it and just watch. You can start the story from scratch, or you can define the who, what, where, or when. So if I said to you, I have absolutely no idea about what I want to write about, but I'm going to get two people and put them in a room, and I'm going to take their physicality, and I'm going to take their words, and I may give you a word, a rosebud or something. And you start the improvisation with that. And then you take it and you go. You might have on your first page, you know, CIA agent walks into a bus stop and sits down next to somebody and says, rosebud. And you go, what the hell does that mean? I don't know. But then they start reacting and you try it again with two other people and so on and so forth. And out of that relationship, it starts to happen to you. And then you take what you can from that. Now, I was going to do today what I call tag scenes, but I don't know if we have enough people to do it. So what I'd rather do instead, and let me just tell you what a tag scene is so you can use it. A tag scene is this. Okay, everybody get up. What the hell? And a tag scene is this. You get a group, I would say 5, 8, 10 people. Put them in a circle. And you're going to have, let's make the circle a little bigger, just give the actors and writers a chance to move. You start in the circle, let's start with you and I. And we're going to start, I'll start the improv and you respond. I speak and then you speak and we move. And then at some point in that discussion, one of you say freeze. And we literally freeze. That's where the term tag comes from. So let's say we're talking and we create... improvisation, you should be able to create the who, what, when, and where. And you don't have to have all of them. But certainly the who is important. Who we are, what our relationship is. And secondly, you know, what the situation is. As soon as you get that, you tag. So let's say I'm doing this, right? And you come over and you tag me. You take this position, and then you start a total new improv, new people, new relationship, new everything. Okay?
Okay.
You want to try a couple? We only have a few people. I've never done it like this before, but what the hell? So I'll start, and let me tell you stuff we can do to help you. We have to be a little over physical, so it gives them something. Oh, this is very important. If I'm like this, let's say I'm using this gesture, and you tag me, you have to take the same exact gesture, and then you start something right out of it. Totally different. Okay? Should we try it?
Yeah.
All right. Don't let me do this like you got to tag me out, right? You're not going to like... And you can... You can tag me out or it doesn't matter. All of that. All right. Oh, wait a minute. Hi.
You literally
meant writing on the TV. I did. Why don't you watch this for a second and then join us?
Okay.
Have you ever done improvisation?
Wow.
It just clears the house out. All right, here we go. 1, 2, 3. I'm really sorry I'm late, honey.
I fixed your favorite meal. You always have an excuse.
I had to work at the office. Look, I mean, I've got a microphone.
You always have to work.
I know.
I have a 3-year-old.
I know.
You want a chicken.
Hi, Freddie.
And God damn it.
I'm sorry. Look, and I know I smell a perfume, but it's not what you think. You didn't know that, did you?
Breathe. You?
Thank you. Perfect.
The aircraft flew up like this. He did a roll. It came up over high. I fired a missile down on him. It missed. We went through a roll down here, and what should I have done next?
Well, what the fuck were you doing over Israel?
I was fighting Arabs. What do you think I was doing over Israel?
Did you not see the sign on the plane? That was not the Arab you hit.
Freeze.
I wasn't.
You're making me.
You're drafted. Incidentally, Warren Freeze, excellent, excellent. I don't know if you noticed what he did. He took the physical space exactly and he made it into something else. And that normally takes a long time for people to get, and you just got it right out of the box. That's exactly right. Well, that's close enough.
You told me you would tell that.
Freeze? Anyone you want.
I'll take her.
Excellent work.
So when I talked to Ms. Suleiman, I said I thought it was actually 9 embryos, not just 8. And I don't know what happened. So what am I supposed to tell the press?
Well, first of all, you need to learn how to count. It's very important. Yeah. How did you pass medical school?
Well, you know, English isn't my first language.
Yeah.
You know this.
Okay.
So,
okay.
I don't know what I'm going to do, though, because the press is hounding me for more and more information.
And
they think that I'm a creep because I put all these embryos in her.
Freeze. Anyone you want. You're...
Okay.
Ooh, yeah. All right.
Okay.
Very good.
Thanks.
What did you expect I would think when you come in wearing fishnet hose and a short skirt?
Well, I'm sorry, honey. I didn't think you'd know. Didn't you realize where the extra money was coming from? It's not my fault, you know? And I'm paying for all your fancy cars. I had to get the money somewhere.
Look, I'm not complaining about the money or even where it came from. But you didn't tell me.
No.
I can't pass on the right amount of funds to our agent. He has to know where our source of supply comes from. Otherwise, he might complain about the wrong 10%.
We can't tell him. We can't tell him because I'm working on the other side of the street and he's not supposed to see me over there.
And freeze. Relax. Good. Let's make a circle. Want to join us?
Ooh.
Come on, you can do this. All right, great. So, now there's a thing about improvisation. I don't need to really say it here, but I have to say because it's my job. Sometimes people have this thing that they feel, tell me if it's true, that you feel like it's got to be funny. Yeah? It doesn't. So that you can have real, we're going to have some sit-down ones in a minute. Now, I want to just try something if you don't. It doesn't have to be funny. It could be just real. Especially if you're working on a dramatic piece. But dramatic pieces can have humor in them, too. How many of you had difficulty coming up with the first line? Okay. I'm going to fix that right now. I want everybody to think of a first line. You're going to remember, make it so that it's something you can remember. By the way, I'm Frank Catalano.
Maggie.
Hi, Maggie. How do you do? All right, so which first line?
What are you doing here?
Why did you kill my child?
Why did you kill my child?
But I always wanted to do that.
But I always wanted to do that.
Hello, Frankie Angel.
Hello, Frankie Angel.
I don't want to do much of anything.
I don't want to do much of anything. Okay. Should I have a first line, too?
Mm-hmm.
I'll take cherry vanilla. God, I'm going to forget that. I know I will. All right. All right, let's spread out a bit. And what I want to do is start with two people. Let's go right here.
Okay.
You guys, come on in. And we're going to start with your line.
Hello, Frankie Angel.
What are you doing here?
Just, well, Oh, wait, you aren't Frankie Angel. I'm so sorry. My bad. You know what? I guess I better go now.
You obviously don't know what the hell you're doing here.
Actually, I don't. You know, my meds, I thought I was going to be on certain meds, and they got them mixed up, and now I think I'm lost.
You're lost?
Well, look, I've got some meds for you if you need them.
Cut. Good. Stay here. Great. Come on in. I'm going to bring you in this time as the first line. Enter with your first line, and you respond with your first line.
Why did you kill my child?
Hello, Frankie Angel.
You're God.
I'm who?
You're God. I died to come after you.
Why?
I want to know why you killed my child.
I don't think I know. Oh, my goodness. That was your child? I thought that was my child. I'm confused. That was your child?
I gave birth to him.
Wait, that was our child. Why are you saying it's your child? It's always about your child. It's always about your needs. What about my needs?
I gave birth to him. I have the sagging breasts. Well, I have a cesarean scar to prove it.
You know what? Prove it.
And cut. That was good.
Thank you.
That was great. Should we write that down? That was good. All right. All right. All right. Let's go back out. You cool with this?
Yeah.
You see, you know what it is? She's a plant. She knows how to do this cold. And she's going to just come in and say, I'm just playing this fool when I get there.
That's what I don't even know how.
All right. This is what we're doing. You have your first line.
Yeah.
And you have yours. Let's come back in and start. You begin and you respond with your first line, and let's see what kind of floats up to the top.
Okay. I really don't want to do much of anything. But I always wanted to do this. But I don't. But I do, and it kind of makes fun.
Oh, actually. Stop.
No, it's really fun. It's really fun. You jump out of a plane. It's great. It's great.
Yeah, it could be.
That parachute on the back, ignore the bricks. Seriously.
Ignore the what?
The bricks. They put bricks in the special backpacks, but it's okay. You're going to love this. We'll put you in the plane. It'll be fabulous. You signed the insurance policy, right?
I don't really. Yeah, sure, whatever. Just somebody's going to have to push me because I'm not going otherwise.
Yeah. Well, don't push it. Don't push it. I'll push you. It's okay.
And cut. Good. Let's bring you, and you can step out and have you come in. You start.
I really don't want to do much of anything.
Well, what are you doing here?
I just walked in by mistake. I mean, it wasn't a mistake, but I didn't know you guys were actually doing it. You walked
in through a door that says action is here, and you expect no action.
Didn't say that. Didn't say anything like that.
Did you read the door?
No.
Oh, come on. Let's go. It's on the door. I wrote it there, yes.
Really?
Yes, I did. I took my staff.
And cut. Good. Don't run away. All right. Who do I want to pair up? Frankie Angel. What is my line?
I'll show you.
All right, great. You start.
What are you doing here?
I'd like a cherry vanilla.
A cherry vanilla?
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry. We don't have cherry vanilla.
Oh. Well, I saw a cherry over there and vanilla. I thought maybe you can put them together. You know,
if you saw an elephant over there and a zebra, would you put them together?
My kid's in the car. I mean, give me a break. I mean, he's crying, and the kid gives me, I mean, you know, I really shouldn't even be here. You know, I took...
Oh, look, all I have here is Hebrew bear and black walnut. Would you like a shake?
No. You know, I took my kid. I'm not supposed to have him. My wife doesn't even know I have him.
You took your kid.
And he's very upset, and if you could just help me out.
Okay. Is he allergic to nuts?
You know, I think he might be. Just give me a little cherry. Oh, I'll tell you what. Give me a cherry and give me a vanilla, and I'll combine them myself, okay?
Okay. All right. I've got some cherry here, and I've got a vanilla bean.
Great. How much is that? Here, I'll give you $20. Just give me the whole
thing. $20? Sure. Yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Are you sure you don't want any walnut?
No, listen. I got to go.
Okay.
And so on. All right. So what you can see is that we can have comedy. Your thing is interesting because you somehow made that into something else, because Hello, Frankie Angel I thought it was going to be comedy, and it was, but then when you added your chemistry to it, it became something totally different. So you could use dialogue and lines totally against your characters. You could have an assassin, and the assassin could be a stand-up comic. I mean, it could be like that kind of a thing. It doesn't have to always be, it's not like playing the piano, you know, where you go, oh, I've got to hit these notes and the dark ones are here. You can mix and match. And your thing was kind of interesting because your piece was, it could have gone either way. You were very open to what your input was going to be and you took it in both directions. All right, let's try something else. Let's sit down. You see, you can rest now. And what I want to do is I want to create a scenario with... Oh, we're going to do... how am I doing?
You've got about 15.
Okay, good. I want to create a... I'm going to do one more scenario, a couple of scenarios where there's nothing. And then I'd like to try one or two where there actually is a frame, like a breakup or something like that, where you actually work within a theme. But I want to try this one other thing because I think it might be fun. And you could sit on this one, which would be great. And there's not a tag scene, so I need two volunteers. Great, thank you. You are so kind. Great. Frankie Angel, I knew I could count on you. That was a great line. And I was saying, wow, that could go in a whole different thing. And I never saw your thing coming. Come on, sit down. Let's pair them up again and see what happens. So what we want to do here is, if we may, and again, this is a bit of a conceit in the sense that it's a trick. But let's say you're sitting in front of a blank page and you have absolutely zip. So this is the harder one. And then the one where I actually give you a scene, you just play it. So what I'd like to do is I want to start with a word which you will say and you will give me in a minute. That you're just going to say a word. And the reason why I want to do this is you're actually kind of there already. Frankie Angel became something else. And that's what I'm saying is just because you could start with a word like, you know, anchovies. And typical writers are, now I'm talking about fish. No, an anchovy, I just made that up. But it could be anything. It could be a metaphor for your life. It could be whatever. So you take it to another level, or in some cases, you might want to use the literal level.
That's how you hear it, right?
Like how you hear it, how it's handled, what it means. So, you know, we're going to start you with a single word, and all I want you to do is say that word, and then this is the trap, which I don't want you to fall in, and I don't think you will, but I'm going to say it anyway, where you go, anchovies, I hate going to that place to eat. You're only going to say anchovies. Then the tennis ball's on your side of them. So we got to see what she takes and makes out of it. And what we get out of writers is this give and take kind of a feel to it. It's a give and take kind of a feel. And I'm not going to let it go like forever. Just a couple of lines just to see what kind of emerges out of it. Okay? You ready?
Yes.
Kumquat. Would you please
come back?
Would you please just get a toothpick? Come on, take you to we go to a nice restaurant, and this is this is our third date.
You know, the funny thing about that is, I wasn't sure there would be a third date, and I figured, well, if there's going to be a third date, I'm just going to be who I am.
Did you know that I could have been out with this other guy, but I thought you were nice? My mother recommended you?
Oh, you know something? Well, you know, I never actually got to the third date with your mother, but... the kumquat she gave me, you know, in appreciation for the last time we were out.
It's third and perfect.
My mother has been with my father for 40 years.
Yeah,
you're my mother!
Excuse me? No, I got as far with her as I am with you right now. Speaking of that, I have more kumquats back in the place.
Jesus Christ, that was big sense.
And slow fade, cut.
All right.
That was good. All right, so we started with kumquat. So it was, you know, a very simple concept. And it became this whole thing. And so, and then you guys are really great listening to each other. You're actually kind of an interesting team. Because, you know, it's like you listen, you're good, your sensory is you're both, maybe because of your profession, but you're a good listener. So you pick up you know, you pick it up and you respond. I have sometimes people improvise and they don't listen to each other. Like, I've got this idea, I'm picking the kumquat, just I have this idea. And they're like in two different universes. And that may work. You may be writing about a married couple, you know, and that's what they actually do. But other times you want it to be more engaging kind of a thing. Now I'm gonna two more volunteers want to try this? Come on, you can do this. You know, you just, all right, good. You want to try this? Come on, you can do this. All right, this I'm going to set you up because you're coming in cold. We're going to give you a line. He's going to give it to you. A line now. So think of something good. And we're going to do two of these. We're going to do one where we're starting the line and I will give the line to you. And we're going to see what evolves. Character-wise, you can move around too. I thought it was great. You got up. You didn't have to stay in the chair, which is great. So you're now sitting. Let's bring it back home to what we're 10 minutes. All right, great. Let's bring it back home to what we're doing. We're writing. So visualize you have that blank page. So on his blank page, he wrote kumquat, and he put two characters sitting in a restaurant, and he just said, "Let's see what happens and what evolves." And all, you know. So you guys are two. I don't know. We're still not giving you anything. You're not giving any who, what, when, and where. You're going to have to provide it for us. And we're giving you a line. Instead, you're typing a line on your manuscript. So the line is:
I thought my Tourette's was cured.
I'm going to kill you.
You're going to get it. So that's your line.
Is it? I thought my Tourette's was cured.
I did too, but it sure isn't.
No, it isn't.
No,
I know it isn't.
No, you're a man.
I am.
Yeah.
It comes out all the time.
Yeah, especially if you're really an embarrassment to the family.
Oh, well, I can
handle
that.
Well, why don't you get a handle on it?
It's just, no, it's weakness.
You're just a weak person.
Well, it's really,
you're just an embarrassment to the whole family. We're all successful, and you sit around with this.
Oh, it's not that. It's like, you know, fuck shit, damn, get out of my face kind of thing. Or, can you imagine what that would be, an embarrassment to everybody? But I kind of like that.
You like it?
Yeah.
You like embarrassing all of us? We've all worked really hard. We all have doctorates and masters. And you want to embarrass the family?
Well, I got a doctorate, but I...
Well, why don't you go live in a cabin somewhere in the woods?
Well, I'm looking for one.
Well, I hope you buy one.
Okay.
I will. If you'll just go live there and stay away from the rest of the family and quit embarrassing us.
Okay. Surprise, it hasn't come out right now.
Cut. Good. All right. Think of a line. Now, we're going to work on it. Now we're going
to
do an...
So mean.
No, but it just kind of went that way. But you notice that the physicality and the characters had a sound. Now, this one, you're thinking of a line. We're going to end it in this line, so it's called last line. So I'm just going to start you cold, and the improv is not over until the last line that you're about to get is spoken. So we're doing, it's like pulling your jacket.
Can you continue on this thing?
No, we're on a totally new thing. And what I want you to work on and think about is who you are. In other words, the who and the what. And then you're going to end it on this last line. And then we know it's over when you hit the last line. So it's like if he gave me Merry Christmas. It's
so
not over.
Whoever throws out that last line.
Then it's over.
That's
yeah.
Code for over.
Correct.
So how do you get started?
Just. Yeah. And the line is?
How could you forget I'm allergic to pine nuts?
Oh, wait a minute. We got to end with that.
Oh, okay.
I love that. You are great. So let's think of a new one. So we're just starting. Like, I'll help you out a little bit. You're in a, you haven't given me the line yet. You're sitting in a waiting room for a job interview. Oh, both. And the last line is?
So why is the lowest grade you got in ballroom dance?
So why is the last grade you got?
The lowest grade.
Oh, so why is the lowest grade you got in ballroom dance? You're in a waiting room for a
interview.
Interview.
I don't even know. I'm interviewing for a part-time position as an editor.
Oh, I'm interviewing for the full-time position as an editor.
Well, good. Then we're on different tracks.
I think there's only one position, though.
Do you think they made a mistake saying part-time, full-time?
You know? It's not for him, but in the next office. There's only one position.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can get somebody to work full-time for kind of part-time pay, then they would rather have them than part-time.
Well, I'll just have to see. How did you get into this business?
Went to school and just have written a lot of writing and decided I'm going to try to do this production.
I just need some money, and I can do it, and so there's some other important things I've got to get done, so I just want to get something quick. I hope it's part-time. I don't want to work full-time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, we'll just have to see, but what else do you do?
Well, actually, I own a boutique.
A boutique?
Yeah. Oh, that's my southern name. You northern people.
I don't
understand English at all.
Yeah, that's true. Wow, so that's pretty multidimensional to be getting some editing work in and own it. How are you going to edit and do a full-time job editing and also own
a boutique? I've been running yet.
Ah.
I had worked, you know, it's one of those kind of things you kind of fell into. And so now I've got too good into it.
Mm.
You know.
Well, that sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah.
A lot of work. So,
well, you know. But the worst thing that I have is that if they start looking at my grades and routine.
Why?
It's a part of your.
Pardon. Yeah. I don't think at this hour of our lives they're looking at our grades in school.
Oh, yeah.
Especially for part-time editing positions.
Yeah.
So, what were you good at in school?
Partying.
Well,
I went to Alabama.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. When I was at Alabama, they, Playboy started ranking the schools for partying. Mm-hmm. And they put down that they wouldn't rank the University of Alabama because they didn't rank professional.
Did you just rank professional?
Yeah.
So you didn't get very good grades in school.
So they don't look at them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
but I had a good time.
Good. What was your lowest grade?
All of them.
That, well, you must have done like just more freeform dancing if you were partying, I guess.
It was the nerves
involved.
Yeah, you had to dance with nerves.
And that's,
yeah, so that was my work.
And cut. I got to cut you because we're out of time.
Good. Thank you.
You guys were. Did you? I wanted you to see that it was. This is what I call a slow roll. It was coming around. And you would have entered that. And out of that, what you guys did was about a 2 or 3 page scene. Now, out of that, characters would hopefully evolve. You know, out of a line. And then suddenly you got these two characters in a waiting room, and then you might change it to something else. But suddenly you have 3 pages of dialogue. And it's more than you had. You know, this is when you're sitting in front of that blank screen trying to figure it out. Now you got 3 pages of dialogue, 2 characters in a space with very specific kinds of dialects and different things, and then you take that and you move it to the next level. Or you go, that's great, but that's not what I wanted to do, and you go to another direction. That's what's great about writing. I had one other thing, but we're out of time. But I want to thank all of you for sticking with this. And I have your emails. I will email all of you. There's one exercise I wanted to do called a mirror exercise, where you put 2 characters together and one becomes the other. And it sounds cliche, but it's not. And things like job interviews or police, you know, when I used to write NYPD Blue, we always had good cop, bad cop, and one cop would always emulate the criminal. He'd go, hey, how's it going? Come here, you want a glass of water? Just to get him to talk. And so it's a technique to advance story and character. Thank you all very much. Great job.
You did a
great job.